I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
I'm Cindy Lauper. My psoriasis was all over, even on my scalp, which may mean 4 times the risk for psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx works on both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for TB. Serious allergic reactions, severe skin reactions that look like eczema, and an increased risk of infections, some fatal, have occurred. Cosentyx may lower ability to fight infections, so tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if IBD symptoms develop or worsen. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
The God of Mischief is back and better than ever.
Loki.
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 Loki. Wow. Great to see you again.
Critics agree Loki Season 2 is
marvelous.
Great. And it's finally here.
How much do you know?
Let's assume I don't know much.
A mind-bending adventure. Spectacularly cinematic.
I've been waiting for a moment like this.
It surpasses all expectations.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
Loki Season 2, now streaming only on Disney Plus.
You are listening to Absent Minded, brought to you by Habs Eyes on the Prize.com.
Fierce an opponent as they've been, they are our most cherished rival.
It might be called the best rivalry in hockey. I'm not so sure. I've been to a few division rivalries or national rivalries in Europe. It can be called the eternal rivalry, as the two original six teams has faced each other more than any other NHL team. And while Montreal leads the series 469 to 345, we're still in awe when the matchup happens, especially in the playoffs. This matchup has caused the Richard riots, the Max Pacioretty moment, but also the amazing picture of Sugar Jim Henry, the sportsmanship when he shakes Maurice Richard's hand after a tough playoff series. A picture that has been immortalized in regards to what it means for this matchup for both clubs. You can fight and bleed for your club, but in the end, there is only mutual respect for each other and you go stronger together. Montreal fans are not as keen as remembering the 1992 sweep. More recently, we've had the PK Subban breakaway goal, as well as the non-so-private feelings between Milan Lucic on one side and Eloise and Alexander Emelin on the other. We're back with the season previews, and while the North Division was fun, there was one matchup that we all missed last year's, and that was the one against our most cherished rivals, the Boston Bruins. With me today to preview the Boston Bruins, I have none other than Flutu Shinsawa of The Athletic. Thank you for joining us, Flutu.
You got it, Patrick. Happy to be here.
Fantastic. It's always great to have someone with such an insight as you do with the in regards to the team that we're previewing. Obviously, there is a lot of history and we're not going to dig deep into that because that we could last for a couple of other pods probably. But looking from last year, Boston went into the playoffs, got beaten by New York Islanders 4-1, 4-2?
4-2, yeah.
4-2, yeah. And what did they learn from that series?
They learned, Patrick, that I think on paper and in some of the games, probably more of the games, they outplayed the Islanders. But the Islanders stuck to their game. They were physical. They were really disciplined. And then whenever the Bruins made mistakes and the Islanders forced them to make mistakes, they made them pay. So I think for the Bruins that they really have to emphasize that, they've got to get good goaltending, which they didn't really. And we can talk about that with Tuukka Rask and Jeremy Swayman. But some of the issues flared up too, especially on defense. I think they were compromised. They started the year with some question marks, and those lingered all year. And I think they tried to address that. That was one of their biggest priorities during the offseason, was to really reinforce the defense. And their depth showed up too, their lack of it. The fourth line wasn't good. Third line was not good all year, partly because Charlie Coyle was hurt, but also Jake DeBrusk had a really bad year. And then the second line really kicked in once Taylor Hall came in, and they were, I think both sides were happy about the fact that he re-signed for 4 years and he looks like a good fit here in Boston. But there's just issues, little issues here and there that they tried to address, but they still have two major issues going into this season, which is second line center and in goal without Tuukka Rask.
Indeed, and you mentioned obviously Islanders' strong play in the playoffs, and obviously in a similar capacity, Montreal Canadiens play with big, strong defenders, a little bit on the edge all the time, getting away maybe a little bit with stuff in the crease that you shouldn't get away with. You mentioned that Boston Bruins tried to address this, but have they really gone for that big defensive line, if we're going to call it something from the American, other American sports?
A little bit bigger on defense, yes. They really liked their top pair, Matt Grzelcyk and Charlie McAvoy. They were really good. Puck possession, smart, moving the puck, really good on defense, really good up high in the zone. But let's face it, Matt Grzelcyk, he's a small guy. So what do? They address it by signing Derek Forbert, who is not a small guy. He's 6'4", 219 pounds, wingspan, reach, long stick, a little bit of Zdeno in that way. And most likely he'll start the season with Charlie on the top pair. Now, that'll be situational. If they're behind, for example, if they're coming off a kill, I'm sure we're going to see some of McAvoy and Grzelcyk, because that's a really dynamic pair. But McAvoy can defend. And Forbert, he's known as a defensive defenseman. So size there, yes. Mike Riley, he's not a big guy, but what does he do? Well, he's good at retrieving. He's good at moving the puck. He's good at getting shots on net from the offensive blue. So the defense is better, at least in theory, because you started last year with Jeremy Lauzon and Jakub Zboril, and Forbert and Riley are significant upgrades over those two younger defensemen. And Lauzon's in Seattle, and Zboril's now probably your number eight defenseman. So yes, they got a little bit bigger with Forbert, and that should help with that shutdown presence with Charlie, and he'll help on the kill too, because he's gonna play probably a minute 20 of a 2 minute kill. So that'll be important for the Bruins.
Obviously, if we're looking behind the defense, there is this whole section with Tuukka Rask, and Tuukka, amazing guy. I've met him a few times, as have you, obviously. But when you look at it, we have to respect the decision that he was under and his family emergency. I completely understand why he went home. But what does it mean for this year with Ullmark as well?
That's a big, big adjustment. Tuukka Rask was an ace. He was a clear-cut number one. Huge credit to Tuukka for playing all of last year with a bad hip that ultimately required surgery. And he's out probably, if it's for a normal season, he'd be out until December or January, but he's unsigned. So what does that mean for his future? We don't know. He says he wants to continue playing. He says he'll only play for the Bruins. So, okay, that's fine, but A, they don't have cap space. B, who knows how well his recovery is going to go? That's major surgery, hip surgery for a 34-year-old goalie with a long career, a lot of games, a high-mileage goalie. So it doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be ready to go and that they're going to bring him back in. It's going to be old times again. And yes, like you mentioned, they invested pretty heavily in Linus Ullmark, 4 years, $5 million per. And I think it's going to take Linus some time. He's been so-so in camp. He wasn't great in the preseason game last night against the Rangers. It's going to take time to adjust to new everything, new city, new system, new coach, new teammates, everything. So fine. And I think they really have a really good one in Jeremy Swayman, but played 10 games last year. Who knows? And how does he react this year when things go badly? Because they will. It does for every goalie when pucks are pouring in, 3, 4, 5. Then how does he react? How does he react in that game? How does he react the next game to make sure the bleeding stops? We don't know. And what if he gets hurt? Or what if he gets the Carter Hart issue where it's just young guy, he's 22 years old, and just you just don't know. So you look at that, you look at Ullmark. I think combined they have, I can't remember the number, but it is maybe 200-something games of NHL experience, maybe. Tuukka and Jaro Halak last year combined career-wise over 1,000. So it's just you just can't replicate that kind of experience. Tuukka and Jaro saw literally everything in the league. So you go from that to two new guys, Jeremy and Linus. First time since 2003, 2004 that the Bruins have undergone that kind of transformation in goal, where it's been two new guys coming off of two old guys at the start of the previous season. So they like what they have in Swayman, but 10 games NHL experience with a new goalie, that's you're kind of holding your breath there in goal.
Indeed. And is this part of the reason why they also beefed up the defense in order to maybe secure the play a more traditional kind of defense in the Garden? Because it helps these young players adjust as well.
Yeah, a little bit. But I just think that was just an issue they had to address regardless. Even if they brought back Tuukka and Jaro, that was such a problem for them. It just affected their entire game. Okay, first, you didn't really have a shutdown left side presence. And then the retrievals were bad. They were spending way too much time in their own zone. And then what does that do? When you're spending time in your own zone, you can't get it going the other way cleanly. And their rush game really suffered. I think they're one of the worst teams in the league in terms of getting through center ice and then getting chances on the rush in the offensive zone. And then they really struggled to put pucks on net from the offensive blue line. So this regardless, you could have had Patrick Roy in goal and they would have had to upgrade the defense. It was just that big of an issue. Clear cut number one issue for the Bruins was to address the defense.
You obviously added Taylor Hall last year, the big blockbuster trade that everyone sort of expected was going to happen. Maybe Boston was involved all the way through, but were you as sure as that it would happen during the season, or what was your thoughts about that?
No, I don't think they were slam dunk at all. Just given the fact that in theory, they had some presence on the left wing. They had Nick Ritchie last year. They had Jake DeBrus. Again, he was struggling, but he's still left wing who'd scored 27 goals in the league before. So it wasn't really a glaring issue, but I think when Taylor Hall, A, became available, B, he had the no-move clause. So that really put Buffalo in a jam. It was only a few teams that he would go to. And so what does that do? That lowers the trade price. And to get Taylor Hall for the price that they paid, Anders Bjork, and I think it was a second-round pick, that's you do that every day, all day. And then the fact that he wants to stay, he wanted to sign in Boston the year before, the summer before. It just didn't happen for whatever reason. So he ended up signing with Buffalo. But this is a guy who's bounced around, not much of a playoff resume, gone through, three or four coaches in a short amount of time. So I think he was looking for stability, and the fact that he doesn't have to be the number one left wing here. That's Brad Marchand's job all day. So the fact that he can be a support player in that sense, I think that appealed to Taylor. So it's been a really good fit. Now we'll see, is that diminished at all without David Krejci as his center? I think it has to be in some degree, because David was such a good player and had really good chemistry with Taylor and Craig Smith. But yeah, if you look at the big picture, I think that was a really, really good acquisition for the Bruins. Certainly not something that people saw coming, but you look at it afterward and you see, okay, this made sense for the Bruins, and they were in a strong position to execute that deal and then re-sign Taylor.
How will you build that second line? Because that is really the biggest question for Boston Bruins and for fans in Boston right about this moment, when we go through camp and we see who works with whom and everything.
The plan is for Charlie Coyle to be there. Now, Charlie's has been limited in camp at the start. He's coming off of pretty significant knee surgery, a knee problem that had been bothering him pretty much all year. Maybe he said last 2 or 3 years, he just didn't feel right. So, and you look at his numbers last year, they're really bad, really bad for what he is and what he's done and the money he's getting paid. So if he gets up to speed, he'll be the number one choice between Taylor Hall and Craig Smith. They have prospect Jack Stanica, who's been taking some of the shifts in camp. He's 22 years old, former second round pick 2017. Skilled, fast, creative, but not much of an NHL resume. Really didn't stick last year. So he made a big commitment this offseason to get stronger. He put on 15 pounds of weight, good weight, and it shows. He's looking a little bit more fluid when it comes to playing in high traffic areas, which he'll need to. So they have some options. If Charlie doesn't work out, or if Stanica really breaks through, then maybe they can use him and then move Charlie down to the third line. But yeah, that's just regardless if it's Charlie or Jack, and even if they're really good, that's still no David Krejci. That's a really, really good player. And who knows, maybe there's a chance, maybe after the Czech season that David decides to come back to Boston. That's a possibility. But again, that's like the Tuca thing. There's a lot of stuff that has to happen to get from point A to B. So I don't think they're counting on that at all. But that's the short term, right? But there's the long term too, that Patrice has 1 year left on his deal. And who knows, he's still playing well. Maybe they go to year, but there's going to come a time when there's no Patrice and there's no David. And then what do the Bruins do? So I think they have to look long-term too, Patrick, in terms of, okay, there's not really anybody in the system that's coming up to be a Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci. So
it's tough to be
looking.
Those kind of guys and shoulder that responsibility. It's
like Pittsburgh. Who's the next Crosby and Malkin? Well, there is no next Crosby and Malkin. So it's the Bruins version of that. So that's going to be something that they're going to be absolutely looking on the horizon to. How do you get a top two center? Right now, it doesn't look like it's from within. They might have to go without.
I mean, it's been the one of the best lines for so long in NHL, the Bergeron line with Marchand and Pasternak as well. Like, as you mentioned, what comes behind it and how long can they keep going? What are your expectations on this line? Can they carry this team? Because they will have to carry this team really into the playoffs this year.
Oh, for sure, for sure. And I don't see any drop-off, which is amazing to think of Patrice at 36 years old and heavy minutes and all situations, but he looks good. That's good. And Brad is Brad. He's fine. Now, David Pasternak, you kind of wonder, just because he had a family tragedy. His son died, and you don't know how that messes with anybody just in life, let alone pro sports. So, but I think David enjoys, from what we've seen, he enjoys being back at the rink with his friends, his teammates. So maybe that gives him some comfort, and maybe he finds some joy in his life to be doing what he likes. And that's always been David, that he's really enjoyed being a hockey player. So hopefully that's the case. And if so, I don't expect any kind of drop off with that line. It's going to be dynamic. It's going to be together on the first power play. They're going to be taking a lot of offensive zone starts. I don't see no injury. That's the one issue. Of course, they play a hard game. Yeah, confrontational game. They go into high traffic. You never know. And then Patrice, he's been healthy, but he's always had groin issues. So who knows, especially at the age. So that's always the issue there. But yes, of course, it's been the question for a lot of years. How do you follow up line two, line three? And that remains to be seen. Taylor Hall is a big presence, and to have him for a full season, I'm sure is going to help. And he brought in some veteran help, Haula, Foligno, Noshik, but again, none of that equals David Krejci.
No, obviously not. And also thinking forward, in some ways, you have to start getting these younger guys into the team. And obviously, I'm Swedish, and you drafted Lysell Fabian Lysell in the first round this year. How has he looked in camp, and what are the expectations on him this year?
Really good, considering the age, the size, small rank for the first time. I guess he's had a little bit of experience with small ranks internationally, but he's been really good. But again, 18 years old and still has to play against men. So the question is, and he's been, I think he's extended the discussion in terms of, okay, do we put him in the American League? But again, that's tough. 18 years old, being on your own, adjusting to life here in America, having to play against men. I still think they think that Vancouver of the Western Hockey League is probably the best destination for Fabian, where he can adjust to life, adjust to smaller rink, play against peer group, go play World Juniors. I think that's ultimately the best decision for him. But I think the Bruins have been really satisfied with how he hasn't been afraid one bit going into... You look at skilled players like that. Okay, he's fine on the wings and on the perimeter. How is he going to be when he gets a stick up high, or when he has to go between the dots? And he's had zero hesitation of doing any of that. So I think it's been a really good camp for Fabian. Clearly top six skill in terms of the speed, hands, a little bit of hardness to his game. So yeah, looks like they've got a pretty good one here, and they're going to need somebody, a number two right wing, to go with David Pastrnak. So, but again, that's years down the road. So ideally, maybe he goes to Vancouver, has a really good junior season. Maybe as a 19-year-old, he goes to Providence. Maybe he even pushes for Boston next year, but that's, we'll see how this first year in North America goes, but he's off to a really good start.
Any chance of getting those 9 games that everyone like counts on their fingers?
Yeah, I don't think so. That's just there. It's the Bruins they're here to win. They're not here to develop. That they have David Pastrnak, they have Craig Smith as your top two right wings. So it would be maybe in a different situation, maybe with a different team. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like a Buffalo or Ottawa. I think that would
a young team
that could
up.
Be possible, yeah. But it doesn't make sense for the team, and it probably doesn't make sense for Fabian. Maybe it'd be great for his confidence, but again, what if he goes a few games and up top as 18-year-old gets 8 minutes of ice time, gets really bad check to the head, whatever.
Yeah.
So, but I think they want to be careful with him just because he's shown so much promise.
Yeah. You mentioned Studnick as well as a prospect to look up for and look, see what he develops into during this season. Are there anyone else in the system that you want to highlight?
Well, that's the issue, right? That this has been a team that's traded 2 first-round picks recently. They traded... I think it's 2018, 2020 first round picks for deadline deals. Rick Nash, Andre Kasha. They traded the second for Taylor Hall. This has been a team, and you understand why, because they want veteran help at the trade deadline, because they're pushing for cups. But where does that leave you? That leaves you without pretty high end picks, which can turn into high end players. And they've also been picking late. 2019. They go to Stanley Cup final, so yeah. They pick 30th.
Yeah.
So where does that get you? That gets you John Beecher, a center who's going to be a junior at Michigan this year, and maybe he becomes a third line NHL center if things go right. So that's not top six forward. That's not top four D. That's not ace goalie. So those types of players are lacking, and you can understand why. And they've missed on some picks. Urho Vaakkanainen, who knows what he's going to be. You look back to 2015, they had three first-round picks in a row. And Jakub Zboril, he's a fringe NHL defenseman. Jake DeBrusk, he's coming off a really bad year. Zach Senyshyn, I don't know if he's ever going to make the league full-time. But they've also, they got David Pastrnak in the number 25.
Yeah.
They got Charlie McAvoy, number, I think, 14. So they've...
So and like every was team. A faller as well
in
regards to what everyone expected him to be. And obviously, we mentioned it here on the pod for Montreal, especially looking to this year's draft. A 30th pick is more or less, you know, it's a second rounder.
Sure. So, the high-end talent is not there.
No.
So that's going to take time. It's just going to take time to rebuild, restock, get those picks, develop like Fabian. In a best-case scenario, he's in the NHL next year. Even that, that's a stretch.
Two years.
So, but by then, Patrice might be gone. So it's...
That would be
There's some issues here. Now there's some other players that could come up this year in case of injuries. Oscar Steen, another Swede, he's been good, a nice player, but is he top six? No way. He's a third line maybe center, and a fourth line center maybe. Jakub Lauko, Jack Ashan, these are all okay players, but they're not impact NHL players. So that's one of the tricks the Bruins have to pull off is get some more young high-end young players.
Is Bruce Cassidy the guy to drive Boston Bruins forward now?
Oh, sure. You look at the track record, it's been nothing but success with Bruce. And he's been, he's tactically, he's strong, he's a good communicator, he's tough. Now, I'm sure it's not easy being a young player and playing for Bruce. There's been some young players that just haven't, it hasn't gone well for them. Anders Bjork, I thought, was a player with promise. And I think we all did. Yeah. But good luck to him in Buffalo. But right now, is he going to be a top six player? I don't know. Danton Heinen, Ryan Donato, Frank Vetrano. There's been some young players that have struggled with Bruce. And Jake, you can put him in that category too. But there's also been young players that have really thrived. Charlie McAvoy, Brandon Carlo. So I think overall, Bruce has done a really good job. He's on it. He knows when to make adjustments. He's aggressive in terms of in-game, game-to-game in terms of changing his lineups. Tactically, he's strong. He's one of the better ones in the league.
There is no chance he is on a hot seat, and he's also on the short list for assistant coach, or he is the assistant coach for the Olympic Games, most likely. As it seems that everyone is going to Beijing, and we all appreciate that kind of hockey tournament again. Well, maybe not China's hockey team, but we'll see what happens to them. Looking forward, though, if you look to the season, there is the Atlantic Division is it's stacked this year if you look at it. What is realistically the level where we can expect the Bruins?
I think second tier. I still think Tampa is the number one. I don't care how many players they lost. They still got the goalie. They still got Point. They still got Hedman. They still got,
And they got a system that works in developing as well. So they have someone in the back pocket that we haven't even heard about.
Complete team. Complete team, complete organization. Great coach, great GM. So... until we see some slippage, they're the best. So where does that put the Bruins? Maybe they're with Toronto. Toronto, massive talent, of course, but who knows how the goaltending is going to be? Who knows how the defense is going to be? How do those young players react to losing the way they did? Do they go in the direction that they take the next step, or do they take it's just too much for them? So we'll see. Boy, I still shake my head at the season that Montreal had last year. You look at the roster and you think, how the heck did this team make it to the final? But hey, credit to them.
Jay Weber's will alone, I think, was
and he's gone. So, and the goalie's got the health.
The usual, it's the hip surgery there as well.
Yeah, Yeah. So I think Boston on paper is better than Montreal. I think Florida is getting better, but we'll see. See how that comes together. Buffalo is going to be awful. Ottawa rebuilding. So I think Boston, Toronto, Montreal, probably in that second tier under Tampa.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, there are we never know what Florida has, because
right.
We have so little information about Florida, let's be honest about it. But when you look at the other three teams, Buffalo, we know they're going to be terrible. We know Ottawa is going to burst into flames every now and then and show the capacity that they have. And I'm sure that everyone is going to be super excited to see Moritz Seider over in Detroit, because I saw him in SHL last year, and I've already placed a small bet on him becoming the Calder winner. But obviously I hope for Cole Caulfield to be that at the end of the year, but you never know. But yeah, it's three teams that are more or less gone already at the start of the season. We know that, which creates this kind of, as you mentioned, tire system. But one of the last questions that I'm gonna ask you, and thank you for joining us, Fluto. It's great to have your insight into such a team that is the Boston Bruins. Will there be three or four teams from, or even five from the Atlantic Division?
Yeah, that's
because that is where Montreal is, isn't it? That fourth spot. Will there be?
I think so. I still have my doubts about that roster. Maybe it all just came together for them at the right time last year, and they take a step back, I think, but you never know. I'll say Tampa for sure. Toronto, good chance. Boston, good chance. Florida, we'll see. Montreal, we'll see. So three, yes, for sure. Maybe five. Yeah. But whatever, let's go four. Florida four, gets four. In, Montreal gets out. Yeah. I don't know. I'm horrible at these. So
we're definitely going to hold you to it, obviously.
Okay.
So. No, but you mentioned it as well. And we mentioned the loss of Weber, the question Huge. Mark in regards to Carey Huge. Price.
Yeah.
But what are the other weaknesses really that you see in Montreal?
I can't say that I can speak expertly.
No, but
because it's been so long.
Yeah.
And that's it's been such a shame.
Well. Yeah.
It's been such a shame that we haven't been able to see these two teams. But do they have the kind of presence? Do they have game-changing offensive talent that, you know, it's okay, everybody game plans for the Bergeron line. Everybody has to account for the Barkov line. Everybody has to account for Point and Stamkos when they're in Kucherov. Does Montreal have that kind of presence? I don't know. Of course, Caulfield and Suzuki, maybe.
At least that
Gallagher, maybe.
Suzuki and Caulfield is going to get that treatment where they line up the best defensive line to them.
Yeah. And maybe they'll hold their ground, but then where does that leave the rest of the team? I think we've always seen Montreal as being four balanced, fast, dependable, skilled lines, but do they have that kind of offensive presence? I don't know. And to be without that presence on defense is huge. Goal, I think they'll be fine. The health, of course, is an issue, but I just, in terms of high-end talent, I don't see them being in that Tampa, Toronto, Boston mix. You can put Florida in that mix too. So, but again, they went four rounds last year, better than everybody else except one team. So, we'll see. It's a mystery team to me right now. I don't think there's that much clarity with them as there is some of these other teams. So maybe they sneak up on guys. We'll see.
You listen to Fluto Shinzawa, and you can find him on The Athletic, and you can find him on Twitter at Fluto Shinzawa. And thank you for joining us today. Most enlightening.
You got it. Yep, my pleasure, Patrick.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Hi, I'm Cyndi Lauper. My scalp was covered with psoriasis, which could lead to psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx treats both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 mg dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 mg dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for TB. Serious allergic reactions, severe skin reactions that look like eczema, and an increased risk of infections, some fatal, have occurred. Cosentyx may lower ability to fight infections, so tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if IBD symptoms develop or worsen. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX.
Cosentyx works for me.
Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun this season. Kings Island is now open weekends.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.